Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
I wrote today's message under the assumption that the mothers in the audience today want more than just their child to be a great athlete, more than their child to be a great student in school, more than their child to be popular. You want your child to go to heaven. Am I right? Today, we're going to be looking at some blueprints and codes that God has given us to enable our families to survive the crazy storms and the chaotic world that we're trying to raise our children in. Now, let's get right into it. Point number one, stay commanded. Years ago at North Terrace, I did a family sermon series titled I Wish. And the titles of the sermons were things like I Wish My Wife Would, I Wish My Husband Would, I Wish My Children Would, and several others. But one of the titles was, I Wish My Parents Would. And every week, the week before the sermon was going to be preached, I had an input board out in the foyer, and people would just write what their thoughts were, particularly to this, the question on that week was, to I Wish My Parents Would. And instead of having answers that I expected, like, I wish my parents would increase my allowance. I wish my parents would let me stay out later on Friday and Saturday night. I wish my parents would help me buy my first car. The overwhelming majority of things were things like, I wish my parents would love me more. I wish my parents could get along better with me. I wish my parents would just stop arguing with me so much. And so, moms, this morning I'm going to give to you a 5-minute bill pill to help you fulfill what may be your child's, your teenager's secret wishes in your relationship with them and in your home. There is a world of difference between being loved and feeling loved. Moms, if you're not doing the things necessary to make your children feel loved, you may love them, but for them, it feels just the same as if they are not loved at all. In a lot of homes today, when it comes to this particular topic, the kids are kind of itching over here, and the parents are kind of scratching over here, completely missing the mark. And so, I strongly advise that you put a trigger in your brain that makes you ask yourself once a week, what am I going to do this week to make my children feel loved? And then do it. You start with the actions first, and then the feelings will follow. But you know what? Jesus taught that same philosophy thousands of years ago when he told us, love your enemies. Now, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I've had an enemy in my life, I just do not have that warm, fuzzy, loving feeling towards them. And it would be a whole lot easier for me to just completely ignore them. But Jesus said, you're going to take the high road. You are going to love them first by taking actions, and the feelings will follow. Listen to his words in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 29. Jesus said, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other side also. And if somebody takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Do you hear it? Jesus is promoting thousands of years ago that you take the action first and the feelings will follow. Now, moms, this is where the phrase stay commanded is connecting to you. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, it is speaking to women, and it says, then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. Your children are begging for your love. And remember, there's a world of difference between being loved and feeling loved. They need your home to be the place where seldom is heard a discouraging word. They need your home to be a place where you're always noticing the good things about them instead of the bad things that they do. I read years ago where it actually takes 20 positive comments or compliments, 20, in order to overcome one negative comment. Now, that seemed like a lot to me, and so I tried an experiment. After church one Sunday, I planned on picking somebody out that had attended church that day and giving them 15 compliments. And so I found the guy, and I started telling him things like, you know what, I just think you're so lucky to have that nice full head of hair at your age. And I talked to him about how I admired how he'd kept himself in such good shape, and that he always dressed nice, and that he kept his car spotless, and that when it comes to his faith, it's unwavering. And I admired how he treated his wife and how they walked across the parking lot holding hands and he would open up the car door for him. And the list went on until I had said 15 compliments to this man. And then I looked straight at him and I said, but that tie you're wearing does not go with that suit at all. If I were you, the next time I wore that suit, I would make sure that I switched out that tie and wore a different one. The next Sunday, I went up to him after church and I asked him, hey, do you remember our conversation last week? He looked me square in the face and he said, I sure do. You hated my tie, didn't you? 15 compliments, totally negated by one single negative, ugly comment. So moms, if that 20-to-1 ratio is even close to being true, then how are you doing in your home? And maybe it's just this thing and this thing alone that explains why your children don't talk to you that much. Why your children don't ask you that many questions and advice. Why your children don't listen to you. So mom, step one is for you to begin to study and observe and discover what it's going to take for you to love and make that person, that unruly teenage prodigal son, feel loved. Number two, stay committed. Moms, in case you haven't looked around lately, there is a huge storm a-coming against your little happy home. You know how generations get tagged with labels that represent the trends that are going on in that direction, in that generation, and the direction that that generation seems to be heading? I mean, names like baby boomers, millennials, and things like that. Do you know the tag that has been given to your child's generation because of the trends that they're seeing, because of the direction that they're heading, the trends that they're seeing? They are being called Generation Z. Last letter of the alphabet, and it's for a reason. Generation Z, and here's the rest of it, the post-Christian era. The title alone indicates that those who are observing the trends going on in your child's generation are saying that that generation is well on its way to dying out and dying off in Christianity. And research reveals that it's already happening After graduating from high school, teenagers are leaving the church in droves. If you were to take 100 teenagers that have grown up in this church, by the time they turn 17, there's only going to be 69 of that original 100 teenagers still attending this church. Not bad, but certainly not good. But I want you to see how quickly that drops when they head off to college or they go out into the world and find a job. At age 18, it drops all the way down to 59%. At age 19, it drops down to 40%. And at age 20, it drops all the way down to 33%, or almost 70 of those teenagers, that original 100, are no longer coming to church and having anything to do with God at all. But moms, that trend can be and needs to be intercepted now, before it's too late. 71%. And I'm not a big statistics guy. I think it can be very boring. In fact, if I was sitting where you're sitting, I'd already be kind of a little bit. But this is important. 71% of those teenagers that have walked away from the church, 71% of them said that they did not conscientiously make an intentional decision to leave. They just kind of drifted away. And because nobody said anything, because nobody did anything, they just kind of stayed away, thinking, well, it must not be all that important. Nobody's coming after me to bring me back. And so, moms, today's message is to simply encourage you to begin to show that you care about this kind of stuff. After all the time and energy and all the finances that you've invested in those children, don't lose your child to the devil at the age of 17 because they're acting so grown up and so independent. Stop spoiling them and letting them always have their own way, because you know what happens after something spoils, don't you? It turns rotten. And a lot of people today that I see in that age group are turning rotten. Now the church, to the church leaders, and to the moms, and to the dads, you got to wake up, and you've got to become more intentional in providing a vital ministry for that age group. And when I say that, I'm not talking about, okay, let's get something going on for the college kids, and let's hand this job off to Tyler. Listen, Tyler's got a full-time job with the teens that he's ministering to. You moms and dads, you got one or two teenagers at home, and you know what a job that is. He's got a whole classroom full of teenagers that he's dealing with on a weekly basis. Don't let that ministry get weaker by adding something else to it. At North Terrace, we were constantly using a slogan that said, "We have got a vital ministry for every age group in the church." And all of a sudden I realized, here we are advertising a vital ministry for every age group in the church, and we had nothing going on for the college age kids. Leaders, if that's going on here, it needs to stop, because that group is leaving in droves. Now let me share a few more startling statistics before I move on that might pinpoint some of the mistakes that have been made in your home. Only 50% of teenagers who attend church regularly have ever had one single serious discussion about God with their parents. 50% never talked about God with their parents at all. Can you imagine a person who went off to college on a baseball scholarship, and his little boy now is getting ready to play Little League Baseball, and he's never out in the yard throwing a ball with his son. He's never showing his son how to hold the bat properly. He's never teaching his son that when he catches a grounder, that he needs to be pointing his foot towards the direction that he's going to throw that ball. And just that split second might be the split second that determines whether the guy is safe or out. Can you imagine a person never saying anything to his son about baseball when he was a college baseball player? And yet it happens all the time in the most important area of our life. For too many families, spiritual things seem to be a Sunday morning only topic. Any discussion that might get started on spiritual levels happens in the car on the way to the restaurant, but as soon as you pull in that restaurant, discussion over, and it never comes up again. Maybe that's why only 44% of the teenagers say that God plays any role at all in their life outside of the church building. In other words, when your children are faced with some kind of a dilemma, when they are facing some type of a big decision, they do not consult God or His Word at all. Moms, it's nice to be your child's buddy. And I would bet that there are some here who brag to their friends about how you and your child are best friends. But your child has buddies. Your child has friends. Your child needs a parent. I'm convinced that kids today are having a tough time being kids because parents today are having a tough time being parents. Not Joshua. I mean, Joshua did kind of what I'm asking all of you to do as well. He took charge of his family's spiritual direction. He said in Joshua 24:15, and you know this scripture. He said, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that statement at all. I can't see Joshua saying, you mean all the other kids that are getting to go? You mean it's all right with all of their parents? Well then, I don't see why you shouldn't go. You go ahead. No, I don't think Joshua's son is going to say on Saturday, "Hey, Dad, just want you to know ahead of time, I'm not planning on going to church with you tomorrow. I mean, Dad, I'm just not feeling it. And I heard that Bill Mage was going to be the guest speaker. He is boring. Can I get an amen for that statement?" Hey, that was a little too quick and a little too loud. Elders, take some notes. Get some names for me. You know, every once in a while when I'm visiting somebody who has, and want to talk to them about going to church, they will make a statement that goes kind of like this. "Oh, I don't go to church." I mean, you try to talk to them about why. Here's what they say. "I don't go to church because when I was younger, my parents made me go to church. But in 47 years of ministry, I can tell you that for every one person that you can show me that says, 'I don't go to church because when I was growing up, I was made to go to church,' I can show you 10 people who are in church today because when they were growing up, their parents made them go to church." Please, parents, understand that your child's heritage is weighing in the balance. And they're in danger of becoming extinct because parents aren't leading. It's really hard for a kid to follow when nobody's leading. In the book of Judges, now I'm going to skip that. So moms, stay committed to the job that God has called you to do. And then finally, number three, this is for the kids. Moms, you get to relax. Just take it easy for a few minutes. This is for the kids in the audience. This is God's idea, not mine. It's God's simple design for the family. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life upon the earth." God is saying, "Hey kids, Mom and dad are the leaders of the band. He said, hey, kids, I designed the family so that your parents would be your life coach while you're still in the home. So stay connected so that you can be directed. Now, a coach has to have the final say. A coach has to be the one in charge. A coach has to be the one who calls all the plays, because a coach studies things that the players don't study, and therefore the coach knows things that the players don't know. Years ago, the New York Yankees were playing the Detroit Tigers in a game that had playoff implications. And it was the bottom of the ninth inning. There were two outs. The Yankees were up for the last time. And there were already two outs, and they were only down by one run. Yogi Berra got up and smacked a soft liner right over the first baseman's head and got on first. But while Yogi was on first base, and he took a little bit of a leadoff, he noticed that there was a little bit of a hitch in the pitcher's delivery that he hadn't noticed when he was looking at it from the home plate. But he thought to himself, I know that he's going to throw this into home. I think I can steal second base. And so on the very next pitch, he took off for second base, and he slid right in under the throw, safe. Well, the crowd went wild. Yogi Berra stood up and dusted all the dust off of himself and started tipping his cap to everybody who was yelling and screaming. But at that very moment, the coach called timeout. And he come barreling out of that dugout with his arms flailing, screaming as hard as he could and saying, Yogi, who told you to steal second base? And Yogi said, well, no one, coach. But what's the problem? Now I'm in scoring position. And the coach said, I'll tell you the problem, Yogi. Mickey Mantle's up to bat. Mickey Mantle is hitting 400 against this pitcher. And now with first base open, they're going to walk Mickey Mantle. And they're going to pitch to Roger Maris, who is batting 163 against this pitcher, which is exactly what they did. And they struck out Roger Maris. And the Yankees lost the game and did not get to go to the playoffs that particular year. Young people, I want you to understand, your parents see life through a different lens than you do. You are nearsighted. They are farsighted. And what I mean by that is you focus on the moment. They focus on the movie. Your parents are always thinking about your future. You are always thinking about today. They know things about life through all their successes and even lessons they've learned from their failures that you don't know. You're worried about what to wear to school to look cool. They're concerned about what are you going to do with your life. And so God gave you parents, and he has commanded you to obey them. Now, are they going to be perfect? No, they're not. Parents just do not come in that form. But you are called to obey them. So that it says in Ephesians, it may go well with you. Closing. Back when I was in college, I played basketball. And we were playing against Kentucky Christian College. Now, in the Bible College League, we were in the middle of the pack. Kentucky Christian College was all the way at the top. And they always trounced us. But in this particular game, there was 3 seconds left on the clock, and we were only down by one single point. So the coach called timeout, and he designed a final play. And the first thing he did was he looked at me and he said, Bill, I don't want you touching the ball. He did. He said, I want you to take your defensive man clear out of the picture. And then he told the other three players that were going to be on the floor, he told two of them how he wanted them to set a pick so that the best shooter that we had would come around. It's kind of like Hoosiers, the picket fence kind of thing. So he could come around and he could get the ball and take a couple dribbles and shoot. Well, they handed the ball to the guy that was throwing the ball in. And just for those of you that don't know, you've only got 5 seconds to get it in, and then it's a turnover to the other team. So the referee is going, 5, 4, 3, 2. And the guy that was supposed to get the ball couldn't get away from his man. And so I'm over on this side by myself with one defensive guy on me, and I kind of did a juke this way and came over this way. He threw the ball into me. I took the ball and threw it the full length of the court, kind of like a quarterback would throw a Hail Mary pass. In fact, the buzzer sounded while the ball was in the air. The ball hit the backboard and went right through the net. There were no fouls called. There were no infractions. Nobody had called timeout. But we lost the game. And here's how. It was halftime. Thanks for going down that road with me. I said that to say this. Parents, there's still time on the clock. You can still recover. Stay commanded by God to love your children even when they're acting like the prodigal son. Stay committed to the cause. Retake some of that ground that you've lost. Reestablish some of that authority in the home. Be like Joshua and just say, you know what? Me and my household, we are going to serve the Lord. Somebody's got to be the parent in the home. And stay connected to the ones that God has designed, kids, to be, like I said, the leaders of your band. God has designed for them to be the ones that are overseeing you, watching out for you. I guarantee you, nobody on this planet is going to have your best interests in mind more than your parents. And it's time to let your parents be your parents again.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.